From Bigfoot to ghosts, aliens to the afterlife, this is Nightcast. And now, here is your host, Ian Morris.
Welcome to the night. Is there more to healing our bodies and our souls than what we know? Can we heal ourselves if we are taught to open our minds and tap into the energy that we are made of? Our guest tonight is a vibrational healer, educator, intuitive, and the author of a book entitled Deeper Souls, Less Shoes. Many of you may know her as a cast member of Investigation Discovery Channel's show, Paranormal Home Inspectors. Nadine Mercy is our guest tonight. Nadine, good evening. Welcome to Nightcast.
Good evening, Ian and Nightcast listeners.
We're so happy to have you. Now, can you tell us about yourself? Tell us where you're from and what your upbringing was like and how you became a vibrational healer?
Absolutely. It's been, as everybody's journey is, very exploratory. We've had a lot of challenges in life, and I've had my share of experiences, and I don't know whether I've attracted the experiences. They found me, but I've learned a lot through people. I learned how to communicate effectively, having a perception of being congruent and speaking from the heart. So I grew up in a small town in Brantford. If you heard of Wayne Gretzky, the famous hockey player, he lived a street behind me. And I lived in a small town. My family was in the restaurant service industry, and I had that interaction with people right from the get-go, how to serve people. And that was a good foundation of continuing my exploration with people in real estate. Became very successful in managing people's money, their transitions in their life, and I just really wanted to please and help people. And through that, that was my training ground to realize just how intuitive and effective I could be helping people. And I became off balance. The more successful I became, buying more shoes, bigger cars, caught up in the materialistic world, I thought that made me happy really didn't make me happy. And I became physically ill. The doctors were trying to understand what was happening with me. And I wasn't satisfied with, I guess, the labels or the conclusion of being diagnosed with precancerous cells to MS. And I paused and went within more and wanted to be responsible for my own choices because I had two lovely children. I was going through a marriage divorce at the time, so I was really pushed and forced to really consider my choices in my environment. And that was the start of turning things upside down and making it a better world for other people and certainly those in my own community.
Now, for 20 years, you were one of Canada's top realtors. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then...
At 25 years.
And you intuitively, though, had an uncanny ability to intuitively understand the needs and motivations of your clients. Did that come on rapidly, or did it come on over a long period of time?
I was shy, laid back. I didn't want to speak up so much. I was just more of an observer and laid back. But the more I became successful, and the more people asked me questions, the more information came out, the more confident I became and found a voice. And there was still another voice inside me that needed to come out a little bit further. And I actually had to quit real estate to figure out new language and a new approach in communicating with people and what was really needed out there. It didn't make me happy, cashing a large commission check. It just really made me happy helping people at the level when they wanted to be helped. So I found that after doing a particular real estate transaction, I thought in the reflection, you know what, I know more, I'm worth more. It's time to move on and work with people who really want to transition. And those are the people that have experienced divorce. They have experienced job loss, illnesses, mental health, multiple sources of addictions. And I went right into mainstream and started working with doctors, gathering the scientists from around the world. And then I was flown around the world for my intellect and people wanting to learn and know more of a way of being to be healthy and happy in relationships at work and at home. So that's what I tend to do. I spark people without waving it and working at their level of awareness when they're ready. So I had to leave real estate.
So Nadine, as a natural healer, you were recognized by the Canadian insurance companies and you were able to treat patients without the direction of a physician. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's really the people that have a voice. They find me on the internet. They've experienced how it is acceptable to heal. You know, they get insurance from their businesses. It's legislation here in Canada to help people with mental health issues and addictions. And that process didn't work very well for them. And the insurance companies and businesses are losing multi-billions of dollars a year. I think $51 billion a year, by the way that we are healing each other, is actually the effect and cost of business. So they find me, and we've had great success. It's been documented. It's been reported. And it hasn't been me going necessarily and reaching out and talking on radio shows like this. How that leadership really transferred into success is people sharing their own story and their own ideas. And I have met with fantastic people who've documented their journeys, and now we're turning them into film, documentary, feature film, and now TV.
Well, you know, Nadine, here in the States, you know, physical therapists have to be under the direction of a physician. You know, many of the healthcare professionals must be under the direction of a physician. So for the Canadian insurance system to recognize you and not have to require direction of a physician, really, I mean, it really tells us that there must be something to what you're doing.
We are entering into a new position in healthcare, and the future of science is being holistic. And holistic meaning you have to study the energy body and the energy fields outside the body in conjunction with the physical body and the mental mind. So you've heard mind, body, soul. It's really, to me, in my world, soul, mind, and body. You can look at a person's blueprint if you understand and have awareness, which I can teach. I am duplicatable, to understanding how we've been programmed to be, to heal, to work, to communicate, to not collaborate. It's a way of being in our belief systems that are in our energy fields that we attract those situations to wake up, to think, what's wrong with my thinking and what's wrong with my heart? And it could be an old science. You could study the Ayurvedic practices that, you know, 5,000 years old according to Sanskrit. And according to Sanskrit, then the most effective form of healing is helping people with choices versus their consequences so that we are not a victim of our cell's DNA. We can change our genes, biology, into this new biology of belief, which is the biology of epigenetics. What you think change your cell's genes DNA. So currently in the system right now, even if you have to, or you want to have a massage, you actually fill out a piece of paper and they'll ask you questions. Does your mother have high blood pressure? Does your father have glaucoma? And that belief system alone, you actually start filling into, oh yes, I think that's right, because my mother had that, I had that. And in the world of epigenetics, we don't really look at that so much. There is something to it, but we really need to dig deeper into a new science to understand that we can, if we brought in that consciousness, we can release that consciousness through our own spirit will.
So epigenetics, does that involve the changing of DNA?
We can change our DNA. We can change our genes. We can change ourselves. And I am a light worker where I have awareness of other people's energy fields. And from a distance through science, we can poke a person's finger before and after a healing session to show that the blood cells have changed and protein appeared where it didn't appear within a matter of 20 minutes. If you go to my website, www.nadinemercy, and mercy is E-Y at the end, .com, you can see that report where we actually took a person's cell, put it under the microscope, and showed effectively how we can change our cells' genes, DNA. So the biological model, that the business model of the healthcare system is under the story of RNA, DNA to protein from the Genome Project back in, I believe it was early 1950s, 1952. And we're seeing that model not necessarily to be totally effective or a story that pharmaceuticals, drugs are administered through this story, okay? So how is it then through science, because we've proven this, and science has proven this for 30 years, we can change cells, genes, DNA without going to RNA, DNA to protein. How is that? And that would be, it's a metaphysics, it's a new physics, it's a metaphysics energy, and it is a science, and that is being recognized certainly on the internet, and people are digging more. There's a lot of coaches, a lot of therapy. There's organizations around the world that are popping up. There's the Healing Voice Society, and there's science behind that. They're rethinking the labels, and these labels under the science boxes that have allowed the way that we are healing to be unlearned now. So there's quite a collective happening, and evidence being proven, and those people are finding each other, and they have such a strong will to help people effectively heal holistically that the medical model must change very soon. You know, the restrictions and the laws of the FDA, I'm not sure how much of it can be held totally accountable anymore, you know? Like, how much control is too much control when the National Institution of Health, which is the hubbub of the medical model, the Genome Project, the director of the Genome Project calls me in to say, and his name is Dr. Good. Dr. Good calls me in last August and saying, you know, we're interested in your intellect. We want to know more. So I'm here to work with the current model. Doctors are wonderful. There's a lot of doctors and scientists within the current system that know this. They don't necessarily have a voice. I have a voice that can help spark and bring this new model together to be a holistic model, bridging the East and the West together. We're ready.
Nadine, we're coming up on a break, and when we come back, we're going to ask you about frequencies and vibrational healing. Nadine Mercy and I will meet you on the other side of the break. I'm Ian Morris. We'll be back.
This is Nightcast.
We're back from break. Nadine Mercy is our guest this evening. She is a vibration healer, an educator, intuitor, the author of a book, Deeper Souls, Less Shoes. And most of our listeners know her from Paranormal Home Inspectors. Nadine, let's talk about vibration healing. So different frequencies cause disease while other frequencies are healthy?
Absolutely. Everybody has a different vibration. Some people are very sensitive to thought, form, feeling, and emotion of others for being of purpose. And some people are not so much sensitive. And it really depends on an energy level where it is that you are meant to be sharing information, protecting and setting boundaries with one another. So where I'm referring to is an energy center just below the belly button. And most women, and a lot of men right now, and part of prostate cancer, is we don't realize that we don't believe that our feelings and emotional needs can be met. And that is a vibration that we're throwing out into the universe. It's a marker in our field, and we're attracting appropriate situations to recognize that maybe we can't commit because we don't believe in ourselves. And that vibration can hold, again, aspects of prostate cancer. It can hold aspects of uterine issues, people who can't get pregnant. We hold a lot of other people's emotions in that lower level, and we don't even realize it. So sometimes we can come into this gateway of looking at our physical body, what it is in my belief system that I need to let go of. And that's what I tend to do to help people. Are you aware? Did you know? And I spark rather than, just taking, like a doctor does, taking a knife and cutting it. Surgeons will tell me, Nadine, I just cut, you heal. So you can have surgery to remove articles from your body that are diseased. The matter of the fact is the energy is still there, and it can turn up and crop up because your body's talking to you to wake up, to be congruent into this world that we're going into.
Nadine, does the body have innate intelligence? And it knows how to heal itself, but sometimes it's something obstructs it, like something obstructs the vibration frequency, for example. And you are the catalyst that comes along and corrects that?
Yes, a lot of blood pressure, lung issues, even tumors in the neck can bear a source in our solar plexus. We vibrate. Spirituality really isn't to me about religion. It's about vibrating between the earth and the sky, and I believe that's even written in the Constitution of the United States. So along the way, we've lost our belief systems for stories, for capitalism, whatever you want to call it, but we really need to get back to basics of what spirituality and healing means. So we're taught to believe to not have multiple senses. In fact, we have 360. So people who only have five senses tend to be reactionary to a model of belief that is old and archaic, when really we are remembering that we have multiple senses that we need to intuit communication and relationships before they actually even happen. So we need to be aware of what is going on in our environment at home and at work, what thinking processes we need to change our world. Okay, so this is more right brain creative thinking that I'm referring to.
Nadine, certain things in the body are, say, like learned responses. Like, for example, an injury happens and there is a muscle that spasms, and it kind of creates a nerve path that may not be correct. Is this kind of what you're talking about? We need to correct certain things that are negative in the body?
I don't necessarily use the word negative, adverse maybe, or more of a misawareness. There never is really a right or wrong. I don't like to label it that way. But effectively, I remember viewing somebody on Skype, and he was testing me, and he said, I hurt my knee. And he said, tell me which knee. And I could easily, not guess, because you got a 50-50 chance, but I could easily pinpoint my awareness to which knee was the issue, because I could see his gait was off on the first chakra. So when you're blocked on the first chakra, which has everything to do with your beliefs on money, sexuality, not being grounded, we can have injuries really quickly. That's the source. It starts from there, and it can affect your gateway to trip you to fall. And really, if you fall on your knee, what does that possibly mean to move forward in your thinking?
According to the research that I've done, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but higher frequencies tend to give us better health, where low frequencies create disease?
That could be a multidimensional answer.
Okay. Okay.
I tend to be a high, I've always been a high frequency person where people can feel it. You know, walking under, like walking into an office, I can blow a computer or a light bulb or my cell phone might go out. But I've had to learn to unlearn my lower self, which is lower vibrations of my old self that I've adapted to believe that that was me. So you could be high vibrational, but at the same time, it's hard for somebody like me sometimes to ground in a world that isn't so grounded. You know, it's easier for me to be up in the clouds flying my kite, gathering people like I do on an energy plane than it is sometimes to be grounded. So even being high vibrational, we must look at being low vibrational and really concentrate on descending and being of purpose and sharing your gifts and talents with the earth that really needs it at this time.
Now, putting it in radio terms,
Okay. A
curiosity question. Are we receivers? Are we transmitters? And are you a transceiver? You can transmit and receive.
All of the above. I mean, to be congruent, I think receiving energy and releasing energy would be the ideal form of somebody working, as a matter of fact, being present at the moment. When that can happen, there's a tremendous amount of abundance. There's a tremendous amount of friendship and relationships. Things just happen fast for those type of people, okay? So you can be receiving a lot of creativity and aha moments and make decisions really quickly with your third eye in the sixth chakra. You can be speaking your truth, but then sometimes if you don't believe that your feelings and emotional needs can be met in the lower vibration parts of ourselves, we tend to block and we can become really sick. And a point there, when I'm counseling the people who are high vibrational, they don't fear war. They don't fear being sick. They don't fear. They're high vibrational, okay? Where they fear is they fear themselves being heard and connecting with a world that might not necessarily understand the language that they're speaking. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Nadine, when we move on, say in death, do we move to a higher frequency or do we move to a lower frequency?
That is a good question. That's pretty multidimensional too, and those theories are changing. Wow. Now you're getting me to channel. You're making me work here. I would believe that I think there are those that transition. I believe most and almost always it's to a higher realm. That's what I'm feeling.
So it's a higher vibration.
I would say so. Some of it needs to go into the ground. Some of it needs to be released. Some of it never comes back. Some of it just gets dispersed immediately. Some stay around for a long time. It depends on what form that energy takes after the physical evidence is gone. When the soul doesn't want to be here, the body finds a way. Sometimes that soul will transition fast and quick. Sometimes it'll stay. And if it's meant to stay, it's still meant to be high vibrational for us to learn from.
We have environmental issues. To change the subject a little bit, we have environmental things that can affect us. And I'd like to talk to you just briefly about, say, like the AC or alternating current that, you know, power lines above our homes or power that goes through our house through the electrical lines, which operates on, say, 60 hertz, which if I've done my math correctly, and I'm not a great mathematician, it would be 0.0006 megahertz, which is a very low frequency. And according to the research I've done, and please, again, correct me if I'm wrong, according to the research that I've done, it basically stated that around 58 megahertz is where we catch a cold, 57 the flu, and at 42 is where we tend to develop cancer. How justifiable is, I mean, how true is that? And what effect then do we look at a very low frequency like 0.0006 megahertz for alternating current? How does that affect us?
It certainly affects us. It acts like a snowball over and over and over. There's a lot of people that aren't buying cable TV so much. There's a lot of people not watching certain news channels because they feel that frequency. Is that the frequency of the journalist that's speaking? Or is that the frequency of the corporations and the people behind it that are supplementing these networks? Or did it come from you living beside a current? Right now, I'm overlooking a beautiful water-based marina, thinking that this would be a peaceful place for me to be. In the ice and snow in Canada, minus 20, there's no sailboats in the water. But I'm certainly feeling the electronic frequencies from the close airport close by, and feeling the intention of others wanting to harm the natal base division over to my right. That is thought form energy. So there's a combination of a lot of energies that are multidimensional that could snowball. I feel like for me to be open and creative to get the next level, I feel like I would love to move into an environment of trees and mountains and water. It's not always necessary for everybody to pack up and move, but I'm one that feels that for my purpose in life. That's what I need to do. So we're all different. We all sense things differently. We all have different purposes to teach one another. Do what's right for you, not to be hard on you and fear those frequencies. I believe that we have enough energy and power to know who it is that we are, to release those frequencies from our vibration field, right? But it's important not to pray outside in. It's important to see who you are and know your journey and recognize that and just go where it's comfortable for you. So I don't know if it's all toxic and we're absorbing it and that's what's causing cancer. I don't believe that. I believe it's a combination of a lot of things. Certainly food and electronic frequency in it too, right?
So we all create frequencies or vibrations, and our vibrations can affect others. Is that correct? Is that where?
Sure, absolutely.
What about harmonic frequencies?
And we're doing that. Harmonic frequencies, are you referring to the heart field where we need to trust and balance and give without receiving back? Is that what you're referring to, harmonic frequency?
Actually, no, but please educate us because I'd like to know about what you're talking about. This is very interesting.
Okay, the biggest field that we have and how most of us communicate with the electronic universe comes through the heart frequency. You can look up heart mass. You can look up a lot of science online where we, our energy field and thus our physical body and mental mind communicate through heart frequencies. And the world is coming into a place where we really do need to give without receiving back. You're not successful until you give something to somebody without expectation of that money ever being returned. It's a way of being, of trusting, of seeking balance in life. And generally, that is what I've practiced to be, in anything less is a lesser vibration. I'm hoping to go up and down in scale and frequency to be able to communicate with as many people as I can. So sometimes I come down in frequency to use a language without getting too far ahead of where they're at in their life, because I have appreciation and gratitude and compassion for their life because I've experienced that once in mine. Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense. We have to pause for a break now, Nadine. Nadine Mercy is our guest this evening. I'm Ian Morris. We'll be right back.
Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com. This is Nightcast.
We're back from break. This is Nightcast. If you'd like to become a guest on Nightcast, you can email us at nightcast at radiob88.com or go to our website at radiob88.com and go to the Be a Guest page. Nadine Mercy is our guest this evening. She is a vibration healer, educator, intuitive, author of the book Deeper Souls, Less Shoes. She is a cast member from Paranormal Home Inspectors and has a new series, Ghost in My House, on Destination America. Make sure you check it out. Check the local listings for the times in your area. Nadine, let's talk a little bit about your book, Deeper Souls, Less Shoes. Why the title?
doesn't any woman love shoes? Deeper souls is what I was looking for. I was looking to search for answers through the experiences that I had in my life, and I recognized I need to do that after purchasing a selection of shoes that just didn't make me happy anymore, and I looked at life a little bit differently. And it was a wonderful shop in a town, and I have some really nice shoes, but I'm realizing I don't really need those things to make me happy. It's not about buying and healing outside in. It's really about removing that and going inside and what makes me happy and sharing that inside out.
You speak a lot about awareness in the book, about becoming aware. And how do we build awareness to increase, like, vibration, the vibrations in our brain that then to create, rejuvenate cells and to reduce pain? What does your book talk to us about that?
Ian, you're amazing. The questions that you ask are just absolutely perfect. And that this question is probably the most important question you've asked in this evening's report. It's so important that we realize that we must create and wonder. And when we feel that push and pull, anxiety feeling, we can't language what's going on, nothing has really changed in my life, but we feel some sort of restlessness, that's a signal for your body to be curious about yourself, to wanting more. And when you want more, there seems to be a flow where you are inviting an event into your life to remind yourself that that really doesn't work anymore. That person doesn't belong in my life, or I don't need to think that way to get that new business deal. It's a process of a way of being to spark and create, to be curious about yourself and your purpose and what you can give to others.
And how important is it for us to surrender and release? Well, I know you don't like to use the word negativity, but how important is this for to surrender and release some of the negatives that have happened in our lives?
It's essential that we evolve past what we have been taught to believe. What we've been taught to believe are good basic principles, but the world is spinning faster and quicker where we need to solve the crisis moments in our life, and the only way to solve them is with new thinking processes at times. And the old education or school model has worked very well for a lot of people. However, you're seeing now that there's businesses collapsing, there's different programs and institutions that are collapsing, and people seeking more balance for the multiple purposes that we have in our life. I'm trying to word this well. You're seeing that there's a lot of talent out there that is needed to lead in a new form of leadership. There's different ways of approaching that leadership and teaching that, if that makes sense. Some of it involves a tremendous amount of creativity to think outside the box. And some of that creativity can be learned in the institutions that support the school system at this time. Do you follow me?
Yes, I do. Yes. You also speak in the book about how powerful we are, we as mirrors in reflecting each other's truths. Can you tell us a bit about that?
It's really about self-worth and believing what your self-worth is. And sometimes you are attracting appropriate situations to see what you're worth or what you're willing to do to test your patience, to teach others. Are we learning from them? Are they learning for us? Relationships are a wonderful playground to learn about effective communication to stay in healthy, long relationships, right? Some of us are in relationships where we are struggling, where we've attracted that appropriate situation for that time. And some of us are growing up and becoming adults in the system or the education that you have amongst your relationships and are moving forward faster, quicker in evolution, and some are staying behind. There's a dance and there's a flow to it, and it requires a tremendous amount of patience these days to live in long, healthy relationships. But I think we're going to that movement. And when the people who know of a harmonious way of being, they are teaching freedom and teaching a whole lot of collaboration and relationships. So it's an exciting time to be alive, really. It truly is.
And Nadine, your book addresses cleaning or cleansing the ego. How important is that?
It's essential. Really, it's an allusion to fear. And we're taught to fear sometimes for... I don't know why we're taught to fear. But we truly are. And I don't even know if you realize that we have been taught to fear. It's programmed into our mind. We've been hoodwinked, revealing some of the exploitations in the marketplace. And there's new evolution and new systems coming into place, not to fear and to come together and co-create. We don't have all the answers, but it's essential to be creative and co-creative and come together to work together as a team. And it's happening. There's a definite evolution going on about creativity and new business models and new concepts and ideas.
Nadine, when you do long distance healing, some of our past guests who have talked about afterlife and things, subjects on that order, refer to the silver thread of life. When you're doing like a distance healing, from mm-hmm. somebody far away, do you tap into their silver thread of life, or how does that work?
I try not to label and define. I know to teaching it, it's important to language it, and I've never heard that terminology before, so maybe I have my own language. Again, you have to use your intuitive senses to feel, to see, to hear, all those clairaudio, clairvoyant, to be a distance healer, and you need to go into or practice being mindful and being still and being quiet in order to, I guess, understand somebody else's energy field. And it just happens. So I tend to mirror their reflection on how they receive energy and receive energy. And also, I tend to mirror what they're going through so that I can language it to them. That's the teacher in me. So sometimes... when I'm working with somebody, I'll feel what they're feeling. They might not even be conscious aware of what they're feeling, but I will point that out and I'll say, I'm feeling this, so I'm mirroring, imaging you. Are you aware? Did you know? And so it's a matter of practice of getting them to slow down the mind and really using that heart field. And I tend to be able to relate to them well. We'll go, aha, aha, aha. And it's almost like a meditation or lucid dreaming or verbally using a story where they can make a choice. And once they've made that choice in my story to them, then I can feel them release. And then I'll explain, there you go. I just felt that release because I'm sensing this heat or this tingle or this, you know, or I'm seeing this. So I try to mirror image them very carefully without going too far ahead. And a lot of the time they're teaching me something that I didn't know that I knew. It comes with practice.
Nadine, do we all have the ability to be vibration healers? Can we heal ourselves?
Absolutely. Again, choice versus circumstances. When we have disease, it's really the dis-ease of being vibrationally in tune to our soul, our spirit, or our heart field. It's usually slowing down the mind thoughts of being attached, of being hard on ourselves, of being critical of others to get what we want. And it's really understanding that the world is so abundant and there's room for everybody, and we need each other's purpose to co-create, to come together for prosperity, and unlearn it's the fittest will survive. Really, we really need to plug in with each other and not be afraid. To be afraid is an illusion, really. It's who am I? What am I? What do I have to offer? And speaking from the heart and sharing it and knowing when to share it. And knowing when to say no and I love you.
Nadine, when we're talking about, say, an autoimmune disease like multiple sclerosis or systemic lupus, we'll take multiple sclerosis, for example, which is when the the body attacks itself. It's an autoimmune disease. It attacks the myelin cells along the nerve. And just briefly for our listeners, a nerve is like, we'll give the analogy of like a wire, and the myelin cells are the insulation along the wire. And so the body attacks those myelin cells, kills them, and leaves kind of like bare wire, touching bare wire, which causes short circuits throughout the body. Is that caused by the body's own vibratory resonance, a frequency that causes it to kind of self-destruct? Or is it?
Absolutely.
Is it also, I mean, I'll tell you what I'm gathering from you, and I've learned a lot here tonight. There's a lot of mental to this that, quite honestly, I didn't quite realize. I was more looking at the physical, and this is probably where a lot of people, you educate a lot of people, you bring a lot of people that, like myself, that look more into the physical world, and now you bring us into this mental realm, which opens up an entirely different world. So is it the resonance of the body that creates that destructive vibration?
Yes, sometimes we come into this world, or we're born with stories to teach other people effectively. That is rectifiable, some of it. I'm working with a lady, a young girl in her 20s, long distance from California, and at birth she had issues and not being able to speak, and she's now being more vocal and happier, and physical things are changing with her, but she was born that way. And I still believe that even in this lifetime being born, she's teaching us and we're breaking through. I've been successful on one shot within 1 hour getting rid of lupus, where somebody was going to die. And again, that story though happened in this lifetime. And great story. There's another story where a lady got up because she had MS and couldn't walk, and she got up and walked. These aren't miracles, and it's not anybody's work, but knowledge and information and a new science of understanding the vibration fields outside the body. And we're going to see lots of changes in science and in the new model that implements just this. The energy body outside the body is way bigger than the physical body and the mental mind. But it all needs to come together.
So it's the current model is you know, to treat the disease, to treat the symptoms. What you do is you look for the cause and treat the cause, which you get results.
Yes. The most dramatic result, I mean, I've had many dramatic results, but a lady called me. She said, my sister's lying in the hospital. She has 6 days to live, and she's in a special lung unit, and thinking that, you know, that's the best place for her to be. But her enzymes were so low that she couldn't have radiation or chemo. Her lungs collapsed. She had 6 days to live. There was nothing that they could have done. And she said, can you help her? And so in the moment at home from a distance, I could pause and say, yes, I have this, because I can read her soul and her spirit will and her choices. And as soon as I walked in, she can't speak to me, but I'm speaking to her husband. And for my own verification, sometimes I need to know, are these her patterns in life? Is she hard on herself? Is she judgmental? Is she getting too far ahead? Is she too far behind? Because I could see and feel the true source was in her solar plexus, which the physical area really encompasses the liver, the blood sugar. There was a huge nut and a block on an energy level just below the lungs, so energy couldn't come up. All I did was work on her for an hour, and the next day she got up and walked, and her lungs inflated, and her enzymes went back to normal. So I can tune her up like that. I don't know necessarily if the rest of her life she went, you know, 2 steps ahead and 1 step back into her thinking processes. That's been her own thinking processes that actually contribute to the source of that disease.
Nadine, we're coming up on another break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Nadine about what she's currently doing, as well as we'll talk about a couple of episodes from Paranormal Home Inspectors. I'm Ian Morris. We'll be right back.
This is Nightcast.
We're back from break. Never miss another show. Become a Nightcaster by going to the Nightcast page at RadioB88.com. And as a special Nightcaster, you will always be notified of new and upcoming Nightcast shows. Our guest this evening, Nadine Mercy. She is a vibration healer, educator, intuitive, author of the book Deeper Souls, Less Shoes, and she was a cast member on Paranormal Home Inspectors. Also, her new show, Ghost in My House, on Destination America. Check your local listings. Nadine, let's talk about maybe one or two episodes of Paranormal Home Inspectors. The first one I'd like to actually talk to you about is Family Ties. It's where there was a loss of a 22-year-old daughter. Can you tell us about that episode?
Sure. I should talk about the premise of the show. I was in real estate school, almost tricked into doing an episode. I didn't know I was filming an episode. It was very interesting in that process. And they pitched the episode, and it aired on Discovery ID, and it did well. And now it's being edited, and the show changed a little bit, and it's airing on Destination America. And you can look at the TV listings there in your area in the United States. That particular show was really moving for me as to the accuracy and the detail and the importance of the messages really to help the family. The show reached out to people, or the people reached out to the show and saying, I'm experiencing strange phenomena in the house. Some of them might have been frightened. Some of them might have been alerted, but they couldn't understand why their eyes would be to a certain event in the house. And so they called the inspectors in, and I didn't know anything. I didn't even know the city that I was going to the night before. And I would just go into the house with one cameraman and the sound guy, and that was it. And so I would have to get into the minds of who lived there, what they were experiencing, and me being an empath, I could really feel the feelings and the emotions of the homeowners, their family, their friends, and not only them, but their loved ones that passed on the other side, and put the dots together between the two worlds and make sense of it all. That particular one, we discovered that this little girl, not little girl, she's a young woman, 22 years old, had some mental health issues and addiction issues. And she went missing, and then they found her deceased in a hotel room. So they're trying to get some answers, and we were able to connect the dots with the mom to bring some healing into the family. It was very, very moving and very emotional for me as an empath, and I think I quit on that show. I couldn't handle it anymore, and I had to go to another level and go a little higher to be able to relate some of the important messages.
It seems like there was a lot of emotional incidences, and I understand that. I mean, when you're picking up, is it the vibration of the deceased person that you're picking up, or how does that work?
Both. It's almost like her energy can come through me. I can give you detail to her personality. She can connect to me, and I was able to label her cat's name. The cat wasn't even there. Very, very detailed. The room number that she stayed in, I'm almost in her eyes as she's walking me through play-by-play in the episode that actually happened. And I in this life, I tend to work with the coroner's office. I've worked with the police. I worked with urban health corps doctors. I've witnessed a lot of incidents. So sometimes I get called around the world, and I tend to help people because I can be their eyes where they can't see to give them signs and clues. And then they go find the physical evidence. And that's what happened in this case. With this particular family, we were able to bring closure.
Is it residual energy that's left that you're picking up on?
Sometimes, you know, we're all in this world to be a part of the vaccination process to heal each one by one. And just because they're on the other side, that doesn't mean the energy can't help us. And there is signs and clues, and I can go into altered states and effectively demonstrate that to individuals to help heal them so that they can move forward. So if that energy wasn't healed before it left, it could linger, and it could give us signs and clues to put some peace to a world that really needs to be at rest and at peace.
Nadine, what was the episode that put you the most ill at ease?
I didn't know what I was walking into when I signed up for this show. I thought I have seen everything, but wow. There's quite a few. There was one house where it was in the country, an old farm home, about 150 years old, and it was in the family for several years, and we were having a discussion, and then all of a sudden, all the cameras, the power went out, the camera crew got spooked, some people quit, and the whole power in the house went out at the time that we were mentioning certain things, and there was movement, and I was seeing a murder of a little girl, and she came in and she was giving me signs and clues. And then they went to the archives to find out effectively the names and description that I gave were absolutely true. So sometimes I get spooked even after watching what happened. So I go into an altered state. Sometimes I block it out, sometimes I don't. But more importantly, I get spooked when I feel what they're feeling and what that feeling hasn't been expressed to the people that matter.
So how do you keep those entities from following you? Do you have like...
I don't believe they... Well, some people say they do. I don't feel it. I don't feel it.
Okay.
I try to. No, I don't feel it.
So Nadine, what are you working on now? What project are you working on now?
In 2006, I gathered large tracts of land in Northern Ontario in Canada and working at building transitional health communities. One unit in particular has a total of 1,100 units. They're quite large and very special in Mother Nature type environments to help people heal. I'm building web-based development technology to duplicate many aspects of me and other healers, building a foundation where healers can come together from multiple modalities in one room, blending the Eastern and Western philosophy, and most recently partnering with the World Alternative Health Council for certification between the East and the West. And I'm very, very excited about being an executive movie producer, co-treaty agreement with Italy to tell very important stories to help people live in long-lasting relationships. Lots and lots of work, but I'm excited to be a teacher on a different level.
And so this is the project that you're working with through India, is that correct?
India, Dubai, UK. I'm traveling to England at the end of this month, collecting stories and people, venture capitalists, we're all coming together. I'm open for collaboration. If anybody is listening here, there's so much movement and there's a lot of excitement for a world-class healing platform, a multi-spoke level, to help heal the film, the TV industry, helping the mainstream doctors and hospitals. And I'm a director of the Canadian National Autistic Foundation, to the United States government, to mental health, working with many scientists and researchers in mainstream and helping them educate them what they don't necessarily learn in school to become holistic practitioners.
You know, Nadine, there's so many more dimensions to you than what we know. I mean, it's fascinating, the projects that you're working with, and the new series Ghost in My Home on Destination America. What time does that play in your area?
It plays Eastern Standard Time at 9 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I believe there's 13 episodes. They show two episodes back to back, so you can get a grasp of me for an hour at a time every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And we'd urge our listeners to check their local listings for that on Destination America, Ghost in My Home. Nadine, do you have a website?
I do, www.nadinemercy.com. I am on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, Facebook. I love to chat with people one-on-one and help them. Again, I learn from you just as much. So we're all in this together. Communication is key. Reach out, find me. I will help you. I'll find somebody to help you. I'm so excited about this new world that we're going to be all a part of. And again, we're all in this together. So I'm open. Let's come together and be part of the solution. Let's do it.
As well, if you can't remember Nadine's website, you can always go to the RadioB88.com website. Go to the Nightcast page. At the bottom, there'll be a menu, Nightcast shows. Click on that and you'll see Nadine's show listed on the top, and there'll be a link to her website, so you can always get to it from there as well. And Nadine, where can our listeners find your book?
Amazon, Lulu. I think there should be Amazon. I think you guys are .uk, UCA, CA.com. I'm out there. It's on the web, and you can order it also through Chapters, Barnes & Noble. The second book will be out, I think, at the end of this year, let's hope. And I'm anxious to teach you more about the journey and your journey.
Well, Nadine, we'd like to thank you very much for being our guest tonight. And we definitely would love to have you come back. There's so much more to you than what we've covered tonight. So would you be willing to come back?
I would be honored. Thank you so much. Let's do this.
Nadine, thank you so much. And thank you, all of our listeners. Until next time, I'm Ian Morris. Good night, everyone.
This has been Nightcast. Be sure to visit the website at radiob88.com.